Hey Jason, congratulations on your 1,000th podcast. That's amazing. You are so productive. Not only that for Creative Wealth, but everything else that you do. Pretty incredible. Hope all is well. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you and hope things are going great.
Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
I want to take just a moment to tell you about Renters Warehouse, an award-winning property management company that services over 13,000 investors with over 18,000 properties nationwide. They are the only residential property manager rated by Morningstar. Their centralized model with local staff provide trustworthy support across multiple markets. These experts track all aspects of your property and never try to profit from maintenance repairs. Plus, you'll enjoy flat rate pricing and warranted tenants up to 18 months. Check this out. For a free 3-month property management trial exclusive to Jason Hartman listeners, visit renterswarehouse.com/Jason. Again, that's renterswarehouse.com/Jason. Greetings from Warsaw, Poland. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and we have episode number 831. Thank you so much for joining me today, as most of you listening are probably halfway across the world, and your time zone is somewhere between 7 and 9 hours difference than mine. But again, we have listeners in 164 countries, so I know you're all over the world, but a large concentration certainly in North America. Anyway, it's great to have you today as we discuss the four pillars of ROI, return on investment, the four pillars of ROI. Now, on the last couple of episodes, we discussed a fairly wide-ranging bunch of matters. We discussed how to spot bubbles, and a lot of you gave some nice feedback on that episode, so I'm glad that was valuable. And then on our 10th episode show, just 2 days ago, we discussed It's a Dog's Purpose. So that was our 10th show episode. But as we dive in today, we are going to discuss the four pillars of ROI. And just remember that the hidden pillar, the one that very few people understand how to calculate, and our software doesn't even calculate it. You know, if you're using any of the apps that realestatetools.com provides or Property Tracker, it does not calculate this holy grail of wealth creation and this hidden wealth creator in real estate. And that is, of course, you regular listeners know what I'm going to say, don't you? Inflation-induced debt destruction. Sometimes I feel like on this show, I am repeating myself so much. And that's the thing. That's why real estate investing will probably never have a news channel like CNBC, the mouthpiece for the vast Wall Street conspiracy. So we'll discuss the four pillars of ROI and how we earn our income from this wonderful, most historically proven multi-dimensional asset class. And as I have spent the last week in Frankfurt, Germany, in two cities in Ukraine, not the Ukraine, it just Ukraine, it's not the United States. Well, I guess it is the United States, actually, isn't it? That's the way you would say that. But you wouldn't call it the America or the, you know, I guess you wouldn't call it the France or the Germany, right? It's not called the Ukraine. It's just Ukraine. Okay, so anyway, I was in Odessa and Kiev, or Kyiv, as they say. That was a really enjoyable time as we were checking that out. And you know what? Being in Ukraine, that was my second trip to Ukraine. I was there about maybe 10 years ago. And it is literally like going back in time. Not, and I'm not saying that because it's not a very advanced place. That country has been through a lot of perils throughout its history, of course, former Soviet Republic, obviously. But even since the fall of the Soviet Union, another hugely important example of the disaster known as communism. Yes, the disaster known as communism. That Western liberals think we should just try again. You know, let's just try that again. I couldn't believe it, by the way. I've got to mention this. I don't think I mentioned it before. I was talking with two relatively young girls in Las Vegas. You know, they were in their master's program at Berkeley as exchange students from Norway. And I was talking to them, this was maybe a month ago, in Las Vegas, and they were just talking and extolling the virtues of, get this, you ready? Karl Marx. And they had been to Cuba, and they thought Cuba was better than the United States. And this is exactly what they said, I kid you not, because it just seems like everybody's more equal there. Yeah, equally impoverished. You know, communism and socialism are nothing but trickle-up poverty. Trickle-up poverty. And it is amazing to me how people from, you know, these very fortunate, privileged countries want to make them more like less privileged countries. And I'll just take the whole continent of Europe, my home continent, my birthplace, okay, as a great example. Europe, where everything is smaller, lesser. I just checked in here in Warsaw, Poland, to this super cute Airbnb that I rented. Now, this was actually my first time ever using Airbnb. I stayed in a couple of Airbnbs that other people had rented, but this was actually my first time renting an Airbnb myself. And this place is just the cutest little place. It's like a sort of a one bedroom and then like a living room with a sofa bed and, you know, one bathroom and it's got a washer and I don't even think it dries clothes, but, you know, that's how Europe is. They don't even dry their clothes half the time, right? They hang them. Yes, I know. It's amazing. It really is. You know, everything is so small and so less. The paper towels are small. The sink in my bathroom in this totally cute little Airbnb is literally smaller than the footprint of my iPad. Yes, I kid you not, that's how small the sink is. You know, if any of you have traveled to Europe, or maybe you live in Europe, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? So why is it that the Bernie Sanders crowd in the U.S. wants to make the U.S. more European? I don't get it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, listen, I love Europe. I am not bashing Europe. I am strictly talking about economics, and I am talking about how big government and government interference and socialism and communism, for sure, do not work. They are bad deals all the way through. And being in Ukraine, now, you know, this is a different... These are all different stories, right? Poland has a completely different story than Ukraine, obviously. And, you know, Russia and all the former Soviet republics have a different story, don't they? Of course. And I've been to most of them. Remember, 80 countries and counting. And on this trip so far, I just visited three, really, that I've already been to. I've been to Poland twice, I've been to Ukraine twice, and I've been to Germany many, many times, not including the time I was actually born there. So, it is amazing to me how Western liberals want to make the U.S. more like Europe. I think they should make Europe more like the U.S. Now, Europeans might say, no, you shouldn't do that. Whatever. You know, Europe, I love coming here, I love the culture, I love the people, but from an economic standpoint, it is so... You know, I just try to imagine any place I visit doing business there. What would it be like to do business? And I'll tell you, the nostalgia of Europe is wonderful, but I just know this. If I tried to do business here, it would just be endless frustration, roadblocks galore. The way the airlines work here, it's really inefficient. It's just, these are the rules. I mean, I remember I checked into a hotel the other night in Odessa, and it was this gorgeous property. But the little room that my hotel was in, and it was 156 euros, okay? It wasn't cheap by any means. It was a really gorgeous property. I mean, the property itself was beautiful. Little, tiny, teeny, weeny hotel room, right? And this was a very new property, very new and beautiful property. And checking in took 20 minutes. There was no one else there. There were all these people stepping on each other's toes, not knowing what to do, not knowing what the exact rules are. And when they say what the rules are, this is the rule and there's never any exceptions. And then the next morning at the same hotel, I'm eating breakfast and I look out and I see these guys trying to repair this cabana. You know, it was windy and it had a fabric top to it. And, you know, there were like five people out there standing around looking at the thing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, you think like in the U.S., people are inefficient and unions are inefficient and, you know, people are lazy. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. It's a toss-up, if you ask me. I remember being in Dubai with the Venture Alliance. When we were in Dubai, what an incredible city that is, right? You know, just a marvel of engineering, tallest building in the world, etc. And of course, the Venture Alliance Mastermind Group went there, which, by the way, if you'd like to join us for our upcoming Venture Alliance Mastermind meeting in Chicago, it's coming up next month. Go to VentureAllianceMastermind.com. Check that out. Talk to one of our investment counselors, and we would love to have you come as a guest, or, of course, you can join as a member, and that'll be a great time that we have in Chicago. We have these quarterly weekend getaways, and they're a lot of fun, and there's a lot of learning, and, of course, you know I've shared with you some of that Venture Alliance content on prior episodes. So, VentureAllianceMastermind.com for more information on that. And then, of course, while I'm talking about events, just about 3 weeks after that, we have our JHU Live, Jason Hartman University Live, in Oklahoma City, along with an Oklahoma City property tour coming up right after the 4th of July. So you can go check that out at jasonhartman.com. Click on the events section for more info there. Now, back to my European rant, right? So why do people want to try this socialism stuff again? It's just failed at every place on earth, at every time in history. Now, there are varying degrees, right? There's socialism, and then it's ugly big brother communism, which is even worse. So it's just strange. But it is just bureaucracy and roadblocks. And the thing that's interesting about people and countries is that, you know, a lot of us, and I find as I get older, by the way, I get more and more nostalgic with every year that passes. I become more nostalgic. I just find myself liking nostalgic things, even if they were before the time when I was born, right? I look back to like the 40s and the 50s and the 30s and the 20s and all of these times in history, not just American history, but world history. And, you know, I don't know why, I'm just sort of nostalgic about that stuff. And then nostalgic for the times which I've been alive in past decades and how things seemed simpler back then.
Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday.
But here's the problem. And, you know, I'll share with you an example, too, of college. College is very interesting. I, unfortunately, and I've always felt that I missed out because I didn't have a college experience. What do I mean by a college experience? Well, the American meaning of that is, you're in a fraternity, a sorority, as the case may be. You have this great social life. You know, you party a little bit, hopefully not too much. And you make these lifelong friends, and it's a time you always remember. And no matter when you went to college, whether it be in any decade or at any point, you know, it's got so much, it's like so steeped in tradition and this rite of passage and so forth, right? But amazingly, and maybe this affects you listening, you know, or certainly someone you know, right? Some people kind of never get past that. It has been startling to me that people who went to some of the more renowned colleges, very social colleges, and spending my adult life in Orange County, California, in Irvine, Newport Beach area, where I was obviously in real estate, because that's the only real career I've ever had, is always in the real estate business. It amazes me that I literally have friends who are in their mid to late 30s, and they're still talking about USC and UCLA. And I think there should be a rule that if you're over 30, you don't get to talk about college all the time. You know, it's just, that was the 20s decade. And that's what I find of countries too. And I think that's a kind of a European thing, is that there's so much history here and it's so fascinating and it's so great. You know, I mean, it's not all great. Obviously, war is a big part of history too. And there's nothing great about war. War is terrible. It's pathetic. It's awful. Should be avoided at all costs. No nation building. Thank you, George Bush. And to a lesser degree, Barack Obama, and many, many predecessors, and certainly you, John McCain. Okay, so no more nation building. Let's get out of that business and stay out of wars as much as we possibly can. And Trump, let that be a message for you. Not that you're listening or anything, because I'm sure you're not. But yeah, you know, this getting stuck in the past, right? Old ideas. What about old ideas about saving money? You know, about debt. We talk about this as real estate investors a lot. People are playing by an old game plan, a game plan that worked and was really good advice prior to 1971, before we went off the gold standard. Still saving for a rainy day. Well, guess what? Nobody ever got rich saving money. Nobody ever got rich saving money. The way you get rich is by investing money and taking prudent risk, not speculating, not buying properties in cyclical bubble markets. Bubble show just recently, of course, and many other prior episodes about that kind of topic. Not buying precious metals or even Bitcoin. I know Bitcoin is on a tear. And someone asked me on Facebook just tonight, they tagged me in a post and said, Jason, have you changed your mind about Bitcoin? No, I have not. See, this is the hard thing to do. It's to, and I don't mean being stupidly consistent, otherwise known as being stubborn, right? That's not wise. I mean developing a philosophy, allowing for some new input and some new data and some new information, but all in all, sticking with a plan. You know that quote I've shared with you a lot on prior episodes, and it goes something like this. I don't have it in front of me, so I hope I don't mess it up. But it says, successful people make decisions quickly, as soon as all the facts are available, and change them very slowly, if ever. Unsuccessful people make decisions very slowly, and then they change them often. Okay, so you see the difference? The successful real estate investor, or successful person in any category, they get the facts, they understand what they're doing, and hopefully they follow my 10 commandments, because pretty much all the facts are laid out there, okay? And then they make a decision quickly, without suffering from the paralysis of analysis, and then they don't change the decision all the time. They stick with the program. Even when they feel like they got that terrible tragedy when the air conditioning broke and they had to spend a bunch of money to replace the air conditioning unit or the water heater, or they got that bad tenant that damaged the house, right? Or they got that bad property manager that screwed things up, or whatever it is, whatever thing has befallen you, the investment, the fundamentals of the investment did not change. So there's no reason to change the plan. And it's so easy to be enticed. Remember the story, what is that in the Iliad and the Odyssey? I believe it is, right? Of the siren song, right? You know, it was, I don't remember this very well, but basically the deal was that there was this island, right, where there were these sirens, and they, you know, they were women, and they had these gorgeous voices, and they would sing the siren song. And the sailors, it was a trap, because the sailors on the ships would crash into the rocks, and they would perish. And so what they had to do whenever they passed by this island, forgive me if I'm totally destroying this, you know, part of mythology here, right? They would put wax in their ears, and even that wasn't enough to muffle the siren song. So they would tie themselves to the mast of the ship so that they couldn't go toward the siren song. They would keep sailing and avoid their fate of crashing on the rocks and losing their ship, right? So that's the way it is with investing. You know, is the siren song this month going to be Bitcoin? And then later it's going to be the crazily overpriced Los Angeles real estate market, or the Hong Kong market, or the New York market that's on a tear, and you know, the common, absolutely pathetic, stupid ideas where people say, well, everybody will always want to live here. Do you know how many times I've heard that over the last 30 years? I mean, seriously, haven't you heard that one enough, folks? I certainly have. Let me give you an example, by the way, that I just read on the airplane today on my way here to Warsaw, Poland. This was in Time magazine. A four-bedroom Hong Kong villa is on the market for $87.5 million. $87.5 million. Yes, that, you heard me right. Almost $100 million. Yes. I'm looking at a picture of this, and it doesn't look that great. It looks kind of ugly, to tell you the truth. That works out to, are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? You'll need to be sitting down for this. Because, you know, if you go to jasonhartman.com and you click on the properties section, you're going to see properties for, you know, I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm going to take a stab that you're going to see properties for about $70 to $120 per square foot. Now, during the Great Recession, we used to have properties for $30 a square foot. Yes, we did. Sorry, those times are gone, and they will probably never return. I don't want to say never. They might, but I really doubt it, okay? So don't wait. Don't try and time the market, because that is the siren song. Market timers fall victim to the siren song. They are the people who, that quote, right? They're the ones who make decisions very slowly and change them often, because as the market bumps around and goes up and down, they keep changing their mind about what they should do. It's the investment du jour, you know, like the soup du jour, right? And it doesn't work out for them. It never does. It never does over the long term. Yeah, they'll have a run once in a while, and you'll hear their stories and you'll become envious. Hey, I'm human. I get green with envy too. Just like you do. But you've got to be consistent. The slow and steady wins the race. And look at who everybody calls the greatest investor of all time. Jason Hartman. Oh, wait. I meant Warren Buffett. Sorry. Warren Buffett, right? Now, you know, he's into stocks, and he's not really exactly an investor. He's really a mergers and acquisitions guy and an operator. He operates businesses, although not directly, because he doesn't call himself the CEO, but he's such a big investor that he exerts a lot of, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Warren Buffett's an insider. You're not going to do what he did, right? He's in a different game. But everybody calls him the greatest investor. Why? Because he's consistent. He's a value investor. He buys value. You know what value is in the real estate business? It's a good rent-to-value ratio and a good LTI ratio, land-to-improvement ratio. If I could sum up value, those would be the first two things. After that, yeah, it's a quality area and quality properties. And just remember, quality depends on what you pay for it, right? You know, it's amazing to me how some of our investors, they'll look at Memphis, for example, and they'll say, well, the schools aren't very good here. I wouldn't send my kids to those schools. Well, hey, if I had kids, neither would I. Okay, but what do you expect for $100,000 for a single-family detached three-bedroom, two-bath house? Really? What do you think? It's going to be in Irvine, California, where it's got some of the best schools in the country? Not quite, because there you're going to pay quite a bit more per square foot. Okay, did I tell you the price per square foot of the Hong Kong villa? I did not. I don't think I mentioned it. Here it is. Let me get there. I took a little picture of this on the plane and put it on my phone so I could share this with you because it was so startling. This Hong Kong property for $87.5 million per square foot. Now you can tell by square footage how many square feet it is if you just reverse the math, right? It's, get this, $21,230 per square foot. Yeah, I can't even say that with a straight face. $21,230 per square foot. Yeah, really? That's insane. It's right in Time Magazine. Check it out. So amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. So what are the lessons of this little intro that's gone way too long? Because we're still going to play the four pillars of ROI because I promised it to you last week when I rambled on and on. Well, number one lesson, don't get stuck in the past. Number two thing, make good decisions and be consistent with them and don't change your mind all the time. Don't flip-flop all the time. Don't be the fickle young girl, right? That's what fickle young women do. They change their mind a lot. They like this boy, then they like that boy, then they like another one, right? So you don't want to be that fickle young girl. You want to get the facts. You're never going to have all the facts. You're never going to know everything. You got to take some risk. You jump in. You make a decision. You stick with it, even when there are bumps in the road. And I guess the other lesson here is, don't get stuck in the past. Don't be that 35, 40-year-old person just trying to relive your college experience all the time. Don't be that country or that continent, you know, that kind of European ideal where it's just, it's so steeped in history because there's so much history and it's so interesting and there's beautiful art and architecture all around you. I don't know. I think that has a pull. It pulls you back in time, not forward. Hey, I'm nostalgic, but you got to look to the future. Yeah, yeah. What is that saying? You know, you appreciate the past. You act in the present because the only moment over which we have any control is now. Now and it's gone. Now and it's gone. Now and it's gone. Now and it's gone. Right? You will never have any moment you've had ever again. It's gone forever. It's lost. It's done. It's gone. Can never get it back. And look to the future. Don't live in the future. Don't live in the past. Live in the present. Look forward to the future. Appreciate the past, but live in the present. That is the lesson. There's a book called This Precious Present I read years ago. My girlfriend Victoria actually suggested that one to me. So those are some good lessons there, and let's get to a little live clip here. I think it's about maybe 20 minutes long. I don't know. You know, in my mind, 20 minutes is always a half hour. Anyway, yep, that's it. Okay, so let's talk about the four pillars of ROI. Go to jasonhartman.com. Join us for our upcoming JHU Live in Oklahoma City and also our Venture Alliance Mastermind in Chicago. Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday. So we've got two great events coming up. Check them out at jasonhartman.com and, of course, VentureAllianceMastermind.com. Here we go live with the four pillars of ROI. Let's talk about the four pillars of ROI. Before we do that, let's just refer to a pro forma one more time here. These are the standardized assumptions that we want them to either be this or worse on the Performa. Now, local market specialists, they upload the properties to our website, so you can see some variance in this, but these are the guidelines we ask them to follow, okay? No more than 6% appreciation projection, no less than 8% vacancy, and, you know, 9% management, that does vary, okay, obviously, and maintenance percentage of at least 5%, okay? And that depends on the age of the house, obviously. But here's an odd thing. You know, I did that show on minimalist management, too? In some of these older houses that don't have a lot of items, like they don't have dishwashers, you know, they don't have this and they don't have that, they don't have garages, they don't have automatic garage doors. You know, even though the house is older, there's kind of less maintenance in some ways on those. So no rule applies absolutely, okay? Except that rule, that no rule applies absolutely. There are a little bit of exceptions and requires some thinking on stuff. But the things you want to pay attention to on this Performa, on the expense side, on the left column, right in the middle of the page, middle left, pay attention to property taxes, association fees. You know, does the property have an association or not? Okay, and insurance, interest rates, of course, vacancy rates, rental prices, all right? And we always suggest that, look, you know, the first commandment is thou shalt become educated. Become educated so you can be your own best advisor, okay? Learn how to do your own research. Go online and check comparable values and rental rates. Don't take it as the gospel, okay, because it's notoriously bad and wrong, but it's better than nothing. Okay, it gives you an idea. And, you know, you sort of learn to kind of read between the lines when you look at things like Zillow and, you know, understand that it's hardly perfect. It's an algorithm. It's not going to give you a perfect result. But, you know, we used to have nothing at all. It gives you some guidance and some insight, all right? So the Performa, make sure if you have not watched it yet, spend the 29 minutes to watch that video on how to analyze a real estate investment. It's on my YouTube channel. It's on the front page of jasonhartman.com. Okay, it's a super important thing. You might want to watch that a few times. That is really, like, if you knew nothing else, that is the core content. That is the one thing that could make you a really good investor. Just understand how to read the Performa and demand that every property you look at is in the standardized format. So you don't have to be a detective and you don't miss something. Insist on it. So in your workbook, you've got a worksheet for this to fill it out. The four pillars of ROI or income property ROI, okay? Appreciation amplified with leverage. Archimedes said, give me a lever long enough and I will move the entire world. Leverage makes, it allows you to do something more with less. It makes you bigger. You can do more. You can do 5 times what you could normally do. Appreciation amplified with leverage. Cash flow. Principal reduction. The tenant pays down your mortgage, okay? And inflation-induced debt destruction. Inflation reduces the real value of the mortgage. Here's another way to look at it. You go out and you buy a $1.2 million portfolio of property. You finance $1 million. It's 2015. Assume that you only got interest-only loans on that, even though you can't really get those anymore. But you used to be able to. And I love interest-only loans, by the way. That would be my favorite kind of loan to get. Because why pay down principal? I'd rather have more cash flow. I like the mortgage. I think it's an asset. Okay? So principal reduction through mortgage pay down is not something I want. I would prefer more cash flow if I could get it. I'll let inflation pay down the loan for me. But just for simplicity's sake, let's assume it's an interest-only mortgage. It's 2015, then it's 2016, 17, 18, 19. We move all the way up to 2025, 10 years. Self-driving cars everywhere, little nanotechnology, you take a little pill and it, you know, eats up cancer cells and sugar and all the toxins in your bloodstream, okay, and, you know, everything's great, and every time you use the bathroom, everything that goes in the toilet is analyzed by your doctor and the NSA, Okay. Unfortunately, okay, for better or worse, probably worse in that case for sure. And so can you imagine, that's how they'll do drug bust. Oh, we saw drugs in your urine, so we're going to come and arrest you. You know, it's the pre-crime division, right? Almost, it's like that. But it's 2025, and how much inflation do you think we had in that 10-year period? Remember, inflation, just like compounding interest, it compounds. Okay? Wasn't it Einstein that said compounding interest, I think he said something like, I'm going to ruin this quote, by the way. Google it. He said, compounding interest should be considered like the eighth wonder of the world or something like that, right? And it really is. It's an amazing force. And it works with inflation too. Victor, let's tell your story. Don't you think? It's a great story. Come on up here, will you? We're going off on a tangent, but this is a good tangent, okay? Okay.
Hello, everybody.
So this is Victor. And Victor became our client about, 3 months ago? The first property, about 3 months ago?
A little bit more. Yeah, now close to five.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, 5 months ago, you came to the Memphis property tour, right?
Yep.
And you knew Fernando from working at Apple, right?
Yeah, I've been talking with Fernando for almost 5 years. And I always heard about these comments and details about real estate. And I didn't put too much attention, to tell you the truth. I'm like, we are so focused into our pros. And
What do you do for Apple, by the way?
I work in the wireless design team. Uh-huh. We designed antennas for the Apple products.
So every time your cell phone loses reception or your Wi-Fi doesn't connect, you can blame Victor. Victor, darn it! No.
We always blame the network.
Yeah, blame the
network.
By the way, it's all AT&T's fault.
I already heard that today.
Right.
No, actually, it's the best.
Yeah.
I was actually explaining to someone, we compare with every single pro in the market. Uh-huh. And we know the antennas work. But so one day, Fernando called me and say, you know what? Can we have one last lunch? What do you mean? I mean, what are you talking about? I'm leaving this next week. Leaving for what? You say, well, that's it. I got my pointos breaking and leaving Apple. Wait. We need to talk. And then is when I start putting more attention. I'm getting into the details. And the other thing is, I mean, I have been talking with Fernando for years, and I think some of you yesterday mentioned this during dinner. You can attend these seminars, you can listen to the podcast, but if you don't execute, if you don't pull the trigger, nothing is going to happen, right? The world is full of wonderful ideas.
Yeah.
But the people that execute are the ones that we say, oh my God, they built that business. I had that idea. Well, the difference is that they execute. They pull the trigger. They jump in. They jump into the water. And you start doing it. I mean, I learned with the first one. And by the way, I have learning through issues. Issues. I'm not saying it's going to be...
We all have issues. Don't worry.
No. We're real estate issues.
Yes, right? I have real estate issues too.
But you learn.
Fernando's an investment therapist, just like Sarah. Okay? The funny thing is, you cracked me up yesterday. I don't know if you know how funny that was. We were in the house, and Victor says, you know, I have 14 properties from you now. And I said, oh, where are they? And he said, well, I got 7 here and 8 here. And I go, Victor, that's 15. And he says, oh, I forgot I had 15. Okay. I thought that was great. He's got so many properties, he forgot how many he had.
Well, now he's 16.
16. Oh, high five. Yeah.
I bought one more today.
One more? Where? Here?
Here.
Okay, good.
Yeah. One more. So, yeah.
You're becoming a real estate mogul, just like Fernando.
You learn. One after the other one. So anyway, that's I'm not sure if I'm leaving my job because I still enjoy it, but...
Get that on camera. You're not leaving your job. Make sure your boss knows that.
No, because many of you work full-time too. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, yes, you need to spend some additional time. It's no question about it. You need to put some effort.
Yeah.
But it's possible. Even if you have a full-time job, you find the times, you find resources, and all around you. I mean, I have some question, like, wow, what I'm going to do? So I make a call, and yeah, usually someone already experienced that or have a similar situation. So that helps a lot.
Absolutely. Good stuff. But that's an awesome story. I mean, you Fernando says one last lunch. You left your job about a year and a half ago now, right? May 2014, and that was what he called his Financial Independence Day, okay? And then, you know, says to Victor, can we have one last lunch together? What do you mean last lunch, last supper? You know, I'm leaving Apple, and you have this last lunch, and you heard about real estate before, but then you really paid attention when you saw him leave his very good position at Apple. And now you've got 16 houses in 5 months. Congratulations. That's awesome. Good stuff. Thank you. Good job. Oh, yeah. What's your goal?
So my goal is to, I don't know if Fernando is going to do his Financial Independence Day presentation, which I recommend, but my goal is to be financially independent. So even if you are not thinking to leave whatever you're doing, it's always good to have a plan B, have an opportunity to say, you know what, if something happens here, I can move on. So I think the number probably has to be around 50. It depends on each person. I guess you need to set up your numbers about what lifestyle you want to be, what time of cash flow you need every month. But I encourage you to and Fernando has more experience with this, and you can see the projection of the Financial Independence Date, and you can decide, okay, what is that Independence Day for me? And Fernando has a very good point about something that I really never consider is how different are the taxes from when you start, when you become a real estate investor. I mean, it's huge change.
The tax benefits.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So you need to put that in your equation, right? Because that makes a big difference, and maybe the number you are projecting change significantly because it's a huge benefit when you get to that level.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you, Victor. You know, that's one of the other things. You know, a lot of real estate investors, they're winning, but sometimes they feel like they're losing just because they don't know how to keep score. And then, you know, they'll feel like all year, well, gosh, this happened, that happened. This wasn't as good as I expected. I don't know if this thing is for me. And then it comes April and they go get their taxes done and their accountant says to them, oh, you saved on your tax bill a lot of money this year, you know? And then they realize how much better it is. Of course, they also don't know that they're winning because they don't know how to do the math and do the pro forma, right? So, you know, there's a lot of hidden stuff going on. You know, the iceberg is mostly below the water. Just ask the captain of the Titanic, right? A lot of that is going on underneath the investment. You know, they don't notice it every month. They're thinking like, well, you know, I make $200,000 a year and I went through all this hassle and I got $300 a month. You know, what really, is this worth my time? You know, and you know, you just got to understand how to keep score, obviously, and do the math, right? So the fourth pillar here is the tax benefits, right? That's a good segue into that, the tax benefits. Definitely very important. And it's not only the depreciation tax benefit, it's the 1031 exchange tax benefit that's available to you, being able to trade all your life and defer taxes. And it's also the expenses tax benefit, because just like any business owner will tell you, that, you know, a lot of expenses that you're going to have anyway in just living your life, and people who are employees get taxed, it's so unfair. They get taxed at the highest rate, that earned income, right? But the investment income doesn't get taxed very much at all. And the investment offers a bunch of write-offs with it. You don't get this when you invest in stocks. But with your real estate, you know, there are expenses that you can kind of shove into your properties a little bit, you know, that you're going to have anyway. You know, how much of your cell phone bill or your internet access did you use to run your real estate investment portfolio, right? Did you have a home office? All these things are potentially available to you. I'm not saying they are or are not for sure. Talk to your CPA. I'm not a tax advisor, but I will definitely tell you that real estate investors figure out a way to write off travel and all sorts of things, okay? So just check with your tax advisor about that.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, HartmanMedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.